I opened the Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 14. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, to the believers there, the disciples there. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do far abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, even ours, forever and ever. Amen. The prayer for us to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. So the Spirit of God is directing his power to the inner man. And the goal is the fullness of God in the inner man. So for the entire month of January, we want to focus our attention solely upon the inner man, where God is delivering his power, where God is going to produce more than we can even ask or think. The Adam man cannot figure it out. Everything we need is coming through the inner man. So we must understand all we can about the inner man and the role the Holy Spirit plays in strengthening us in the inner man so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. So to begin our series tonight, the title is Meet the Inner Man. Meet the Inner Man. The Word of God has quite a lot to say about the inner man of the believer. Where there's an inner man, there's an outer man. The outer man is our physical life. The inner man refers to our spiritual life, the life of God within me. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, we just read through Paul's prayer that God, through his riches in glory, would strengthen us with power through his Spirit in the inner man. That's where the power is going to be, in the inner man. We read in Romans 7, 22 and 23, where Paul was struggling with sin. He says, for I joyfully agree with the law of God in the inner man. In my inner man, I want to do what God wants me to do. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. See where the inner man is? The spirit in the mind. Making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul was struggling. His inner man was not strong enough to deal with what the outer man was bringing against him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, we should not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying or is under attack or is deteriorating, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Day by day. The inner man. Who is this inner man? We cannot just read these scriptures and run along. We must wrestle with them until we understand the meaning of them for our life. Because each one of us has an inner man. Listen what Peter was saying to the women. And this can also apply to the men. 1 Peter chapter 3, reading verses 3 and 4. Who's adorning? Let it not be of the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on different apparel. but let it be the hidden man or the inner man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. You see, the inner man is incorruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, that's the inner man, which is in the sight of God of great price. We are talking about the inner man. Meet the inner man of your life. When God created man, the Bible tells us in Genesis 2 and verse 7, he formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed in him the breath of life. Because all God breathes is life, because God is the spirit of life. It is spirit that gives life. So when God breathes, whatever God breathes, whether by word or by breath, it produces life, because God is life. So he formed man from the dust, and he breathed in him, and man became a living being or a living soul. In that one breath, God shared his life with man through some derivative of his spirit, some measure of his spirit. Man does not have the fullness of God. That's why he's not equal with God. But he shares some part of God's spirit that produced life in him so that he could relate to God. This spirit that God breathed in man was unique. It is not oxygen that we breathe in and out. No. It is the life of God that is shared in man. The spirit of God bears the image of God. It's amazing that the Bible uses the same word that was used for the making of Adam's natural body. The Bible uses the same word for the spirit that God put in man. Notice the Bible says God formed man from the dust of the ground. But I want you to see from the Bible that God also formed the spirit that he put in man. This was going to be his inner core that would drive him. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Zechariah, the last book of the Old Testament. We'll go to chapter 12. We read verse 1. We are looking at the inner man, the one that powers the outer man. Zechariah chapter 12, reading from verse 1. The burden of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Just as God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, he formed the spirit that he put in Adam. The same word is used. He formed man's spirit within him. And when man's spirit came in him, it brought life because the spirit gave life. Even though man had a brain in his body, he was not alive until the spirit brought life. Then man became conscious. God formed the outer man first as the habitation for the inner man of his spirit. When Christ was coming into the world in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, Christ declares there, verse 5, that God prepared a body for him before the foundation of the world. Christ was a spirit, but God prepared a body for him so he can come into this world. And Christ operated strictly from his inner man to control the fallen body of Adam that he carried around. Our life is in our inner man. The inner man was designed by God to be the driving force behind the outer man, controlling all his attitudes and actions. When the Spirit of God hit the body of man, the man's brain became active. But the brain was a servant of his spirit mind. The mind of Adam was an expression of the mind of God because Adam shared the Spirit of God. In man's spirit, he carried the imprint of God's DNA, also referred to as God's image and likeness. Let me break this down a little. Image and likeness was in the spirit that God breathed in Adam, not in his physical structure. When God breathed in him, God was sharing his image and likeness. Image refers to the character or the nature of God, and likeness denotes the expression of that character, God-likeness. So Adam had God's character in him, in his spirit, so Adam was able to act God-like. That's the likeness. So his God-likeness came as a result of the Spirit of God inside of him. So when man came from God, he was able to commune with God because he and God shared the same spirit. What man said had effect because he shared the same spirit of God. And because he shared God's spirit, he had the mind of God in him. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. We'll see there that the spirit of man is the lamp or the light of God, searching all the innermost parts of his being. We sometimes call him conscience. That's the function of spirit. He is the lamp or the light of God. Remember, God is light. What is spirit is light. So the light of man's life is God's spirit in him. Man's spirit is God's lamp. That's where God's image is. As long as a person is living and breathing, he has some measure of God's spirit in him. That's why there is no real atheist in this world. They may say something cognitively because they want to reject the authority of God, but as long as they're breathing and living, there is some measure of God's spirit in a person, no matter how small it is. But before the fall, God's light, God's lamp in man, was the guiding force for the life of man. That was the perfect union between God and Adam. God's spirit ministering to Adam's spirit. God's spirit was the generator and the sustainer of man's consciousness, his personality, and his actions. Man's spirit was designed by God to be the seat of his mind, the seat of his intelligence that facilitates his understanding and the expression of his understanding. That's the inner man. That was the essence of man's life. So James could later write in James chapter 2 and verse 26 that the body without the spirit is dead. A dead body would have a brain in it, but the brain cannot function because spirit has left it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, we are reminded that when a person dies, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The life that God shared with the person returns to God. All spirits go to God. Just as God released the spirit of my identity when I was born, so it goes back to him when the body is gone. But this is what inner life is all about. We are more than the physical beings that we see in the mirror. What we see in the mirror represents the house we carry around, but the inner man is the reality of who we are before God. When Adam sinned, his inner man made a decision to separate itself from God, to disobey God. His inner man chose not to believe the word that God spoke. And in yielding to unbelief, Adam separated himself from the life of God. It's amazing. Unbelief is what led to sin. Believing is what leads to salvation. That's why without faith, it is impossible to please God. The best honor we can pay to God is to believe God for what he says. Believe God for who he is. Adam disobeyed, and because of his disobedience, because of his unbelief, he was separated from the life of God. Notice this. When you are separated from the life of God, you are separated also from light, because God is light. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible speaks of this separation as a condition in Adam's children. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 18. Speaking of those who are separated from God, the Bible says, they are darkened in their understanding, excluded or separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Once we are separated from God, darkness enters. Once we shut the light out, darkness is present. It doesn't matter how much we think we are doing well, we are walking in darkness. The most intelligent in the world who is separated from God is walking in darkness and does not know they're in the darkness, because the devil would not allow them to know that. So Adam made a choice that endangered all his generations. He suffered the same fate as Satan when Satan rebelled against God. Satan, the Bible tells us, when he was called Lucifer in heaven, he lived in the very presence of God. The Bible says he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He was right in the glory of God. But he wanted to be like God. And the moment that entered his spirit, he was shut out from light and he became darkness. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 8 that we were at one time darkness, but now we are lights in the Lord because you have received Jesus Christ. So the moment Adam sinned, the spirit of Satan came in to replace the connection that God had with Adam's spirit. So Adam was now in darkness. He believed a lie that he could be like God. And the moment that happened, his life was no longer sustained by his spirit connection with God. He became self-reliant and self-centered, just as Satan was and is. His self-reliant, self-centered inner core became the driving force behind everything that Adam did and everything that his children do. Everything that a natural person does is to sustain self. Everything. Because after Adam separated himself from God, he had to find a way to sustain himself. And that's the devil's catch 22 in the soul of man. Self-preservation. Every time we are brought up against some obstacle, some challenge, Satan appeals to himself in us through self-preservation, and we disobey God in order to preserve ourselves. Every sin we commit with our outer life comes out of a desire to preserve ourselves, out of a desire to please the self, never out of a desire to please God. So the devil's imprint became a part of man's inner core. His inner man became dark. And Jesus refers to this in Matthew. This is a very interesting scripture. I want you to take a look at this scripture. It's very interesting what Jesus said. And this is what happens to every one of Adam's children who is separated from God, who have not received Jesus Christ and submitted themselves to the life of Jesus in them. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, I want us to look at verses 22 and 23. Jesus was speaking there just before it was a Sermon on the Mount. And he said to the multitude, the eye is the lamp of the body. Now he's not talking about the physical eye, but he's using the physical eye as a metaphor. We already know that the lamp of God in man is the core of man, his spirit, his inner man. That's where the man's eye is. You see, what we see is not what comes before our natural eyes, but what we have in our hearts or in our spirit. That influences what this eye really sees. So Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, notice this, if your eye is clear, and when I say eye, you must think spirit. You must think inner man. Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, if your inner man is polluted, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then, listen to this, if then the light that is in you is darkness. In other words, if God's lamp that he placed in man becomes separated from him, it is no longer attached to the light. So it becomes darkness. So Jesus is saying here, if then your inner man becomes dark, your inner man, which is supposed to be the light of your body, if he becomes dark, your darkness is great indeed. So when Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah chapter 60, that darkness has covered the earth and thick darkness or gross darkness the people, he's giving a correct description of humanity away from God. The people are darker than the earth itself. The darkness of the people is thicker than the darkness of the earth. It is because of the thickness of the darkness of the people that the earth has become dark. And God has to say again once more, let there be light. All of this comes as a result of the fall. So man's inner core, the inner man, became corrupt. He was corrupted by sin, corrupted through separation from God and the incursion of the devil. And what the devil did, listen carefully, what the devil did is through this corrupt inner man, took a hold of our brain, rewired our brain for disobedience and sin, so that we find ourselves addicted to sin. This is why when we were born already with an affinity for sin. Our default mode in the natural is sin. That's why the man of Adam could never serve God, because he is born in sin. He is shaped or molded in iniquity. Whereas he was molded by the Spirit of God, now he is molded by the spirit of Satan. And the spirit of Satan is very deceptive. Not even the human heart understands itself. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Why? Because this heart refers to the inner man. It's deceitful because the spirit of Satan is running him now, not the spirit of God. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. We were once children of darkness, but God delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 5, that God's light entered our darkness. When we received Jesus Christ, when we heard the gospel of salvation, struggling in our sins, struggling in our addiction, struggling in all types of things, then God's light shone in our darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 6. For God who said, light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is our inner man. Our bodies are the earthen vessels. And so we have to guard the treasure. The light of God has come in again. The light of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the seed of Jesus' life in me, is now the light of God in me. So Jesus can now say to me, you are the light of the world, because the seed of his light, the seed of his life, is now my life. So you are the light of the world. Where is the light? The light is in the inner man. So our inner man is everything. And God is getting ready to reproduce the fullness of his life right there, right in the inner man. We must be on God's page so that we do not miss this glorious manifestation. In Galatians 4 and verse 6, we know that the Spirit of Christ, God gave us the Spirit of Christ in our heart. So this light that God shone in our hearts really is the Spirit of Christ's life. This is a spirit of opposition and destruction against sin and Satan that God has planted in our inner life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible reminds us there that whosoever commits sin is of the devil, is of the devil. But for this reason, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Where is he destroying the works of the devil? Right inside of us, right inside this same house. The outer old man with the hard wiring that he has placed in our brain and the members of our body, sin and iniquity in our memory banks. That's in the outer man. That's in the natural life. That's in the physical man. In his brain that gives him the propensity to sin and to rebel and to disobey God. God now is going to rewrite our brain through the inner man because he put a new spirit in there. That will counteract, that would fight against this evil spirit that Adam gave us when he allowed Satan to enter his mind or to enter his spirit, to enter his inner man. God speaks of this in Ezekiel. He will give us a new spirit. God had to do over something. That's why the natural man cannot serve God. God is not interested in fixing up Adam. He has replaced him with the life of Jesus. He's not interested in fixing up Adam's spirit. He has replaced Adam's spirit, which is the spirit of Satan, actually, with the spirit of Jesus within us. So what does God say? What does God say? In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he says, moreover, I will give you a new heart. That means a new inner core. And put a new spirit within you. That's a new inner man he's talking about. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. This resistant spirit, this rebellious spirit, this disobedient spirit. I will remove that spirit from your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, I'll give you an inner man that is conducive to what I want to do. I'll give you an inner man that will be amiable to what I want to do. I'll give you an inner man that will be obedient to what I want to do. See, that's what I'm going to give you. You can't get it on your own. I will give it to you. Listen what he says. And I will put my spirit within you. Notice this. God is putting his spirit in the new spirit he gave us. So in our inner man, the Holy Spirit is going to dwell right there. That's why we have to talk about the Holy Spirit throughout the course of this year. And this month, we are focusing on the inner man who prepares for the work of the Holy Spirit. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Notice this. It's not about you trying to do something now. This is divine causation. He says, I will put my spirit in your spirit and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and you will be careful to obey my ordinances. That's the new covenant. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 10 to 12, he reiterates this covenant. He says, no one will have to teach you to know the Lord because all will know me from the least to the greatest. He says, and your sins and your iniquities, I will remember them no more. You know what? Let's read it. Let's read it. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Notice, God is causing this to happen. You get up one day and there is no desire for you to do that thing anymore because God is causing it to happen. His spirit in your inner man is causing this to happen. The book of Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. Notice God is doing the putting. Salvation belongs to God. It's not about me fighting and trying so hard. No, it's about me surrendering to what God is putting. I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. That's in your inner man. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. We won't have to go teach people to know the Lord, because God is going to do that himself. For all, he says, all will know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. It doesn't matter if people remember, that's their business. But God says he remembers them no more. He will be merciful to the iniquities and remember their sins and transgressions no more. That's the new covenant. That's where God is taking us. That's why he has given us this new inner man. So through the nurture and development of our inner spirit man, by faith and the word of God, God is renewing and rewriting the memory banks in the brain of our outer man to bring about the obedience of faith and to bring about fruits of righteousness in all his born-again children. That's the work of God. That's why the inner man is so important. We spend so much time and consume so much energy fighting with our outer life, with our outer man, when we should be focusing our attention on nurturing the inner man. So this is God's appeal to us during the course of this month of January, this first month of this new year. He wants us to focus on our inner man, because that's where God is going to deposit the ministry of his Holy Spirit. That's where God is going to deposit all the gifts of his Spirit. That's where God's going to deposit all his blessings. There are too many believers who are waiting for God to bless their flesh, waiting for God to bless their Adam, when the blessings of Christ, they are not for Adam. If Adam gets them, he will run riot with them. He will give them to the devil. So we must understand where God is. We must get on God's page if we want to move along in life. And so God is sending us these messages right now so that we can move to the next level in our relationship with him. Meet your inner man. Let me close with this. I'm going to give you 7 important points about your inner man. Don't forget these. Things that you must know about your inner man. Number 1, he is spirit and divine. My inner man came from God. Born of Christ's seed, born of God's spirit. Whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. My inner man is divine and is spirit. So I do not describe myself as being a human. I am divine life in a human body. That's who I am. I define myself by my inner man. We'll be talking about all this during the course of this month. You must get it right this month, so that we quit fighting with Adam. We quit fighting with this outer man. We'll focus our energies where God is delivering his power. My inner man is divine. He came from God. That makes my inner man incredible. My inner man is incredible because he came from God. Point number 2, he is created in holiness. He's created holy and sinless, according to Ephesians 4:24. He is the righteousness of God because he came from Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Created holy and righteous, because God chose us to be holy and blameless before him from the foundation of the world. That makes my inner man incorruptible, because he is holy and he is righteous. That makes him incorruptible. So he's incredible. He is incorruptible. Point number three, he's already victorious, because he is the victorious seed of Jesus Christ. That makes my inner man invincible. Every day, point number four, every day, God is renewing or re-energizing my inner man, even through the misfortunes of my outer man. So when my outer man is under attack, God is at the same time renewing or re-energizing my inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16. That makes my inner man indestructible. Though the outer man is being destroyed, the inner man is being renewed. So my inner man is indestructible. He's incredible. He is incorruptible. He is invincible. He is indestructible. What else? Number five, he is powered by the Holy Spirit. According to Ephesians 3:16, God will strengthen us with might by his Spirit in our inner man. And because he's strengthened and powered by the Holy Spirit, my inner man is unstoppable. Nothing could stop him. Point number six, my inner man is one with Christ, one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, verse 20, in that day you would know that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you, because we are all one. Anyone who is joined to Christ is one spirit with him. My inner man is one spirit with Christ's spirit. My inner man is perfectly complete because he is one with Christ. That makes my inner man incomparable. I cannot compare the life of my inner man to any other accolades that could be showered upon any human being of any distinction. My inner man is far beyond any accolade someone could place on me as a human being. Thank God I'm a divine being in a human body. So human accolades are nothing compared to my incomparable man, my incomparable life. Do not let people belittle you because people look at your physical appearance and say all sort of things about you. Always define yourself the way God sees you. He looks at your incomparable inner man who is perfect and complete because he's one with the Father, the Spirit, and God and Christ. Finally, our inner man is able to achieve exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Our trouble is we act with our outer man, and we are thinking with our outer man, not from our inner man. The text says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Where is that power working? In the inner man. Above all that we can ask or think. So my inner man is inconceivable. I cannot conceive him because he's too big. Just as God is. Because he's powered by God. So remember these seven things about your inner man. One, he's incredible. Because he's divine and spirit. Two, he is incorruptible because he was created righteous and holy, just like God. Three, he is invincible because he is the victorious seed of Jesus Christ. Stop speaking about weakness in your flesh. Describe your life from your inner man. We will talk about all of that during the course of this month. Number four, my inner man is indestructible. Even though my physical body may be going under stress, my inner life is being renewed day by day. It's renewal, day by day, never getting old, but being renewed. That's indestructibility. Number five, my inner man is powered by the Holy Spirit. Means he's unstoppable. Number six, my inner man is in union with Christ, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are all one, one spirit. My inner man is perfectly complete. Means that my inner man is incomparable. There's nothing in this world, no life in this world that could be compared to the life of my inner man. And number seven, he is inconceivable. Adam cannot fathom how much inner man can do. Adam cannot conceive what the inner man can produce to the power of God. He is able to achieve exceedingly abundantly above all Adam could ask or think. So why do we stress? Why do we fret? We are living from the wrong man. All stress and all fretting and all fuming is the result of living from the wrong man. God designed us so that the outer man would be powered by the inner man. The inner man will control the thoughts, the words, and the behavior of the outer man. That's the formula. Our scripture says that the Holy Spirit is going to deliver power to the inner man so we can understand the breadth and length and depth and height and know the love of Christ that surpasses human knowledge, and we'll be filled with the fullness of God. So let's say to the Holy Spirit, bring it on, the fullness of God now, the fullness of God right now. Now is not a time for me to be playing it. I must give up on this Adam life and wholeheartedly embrace the reality of the life that God has given to me in my inner man. I appeal to you, my brothers and sisters. I appeal to all of us. Let the word of this message reach to your inner man and respond from your inner man. You don't know how, but just focus on your inner man. I'll tell you during the course of this month how to be rooted and grounded in your inner man, how to activate the power of your inner man. But you have to stay focused on the inner man, because that's where the power is delivered. That's where the answers come. Every gift, every blessing you are looking for, everything you hope to achieve, everything you desire for your life must first be formed in your spirit. It must be formed in your inner man, because it's the inner man that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So if it's not forming from your spirit, you're working from the wrong place. If you are just being informed by what the world says and what the world expects and what family expects and what friends expect, we are operating from the wrong place. We must always begin with God. Always begin with our inner man, and God will bring the results to the power of the Holy Spirit, who works with our inner man to reproduce not only the fullness of God, but to reproduce exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I say glory to God for the gift of the life of Jesus in us, Christ dwelling inside of me through faith. I give glory to God tonight. I thank God for the gift. I receive it with all my heart, and it's my determination, by the grace of God, that the life of Jesus in me would be the power to control this body of mine, to control this life of mine, to control what I do, what I say, so the life of God could be made manifest in me and through me. To the glory of his name, to the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the blessing of humanity. I thank God for this word, and I appeal to you, my brothers and sisters. Embrace the reality of who you are in your inner man. It's the gift of God to you. Don't allow anyone or anything to divert you, to distract you from focusing on this gift during the course of this month. Let's be here. And let's press in. Let's press in and allow God to do what he desires to do for us. He has given us this message because he's about to do something for us. Let's be on his page and let's give him the glory as we cooperate with his spirit. I thank God for you and I bless you tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.